Understand God's Will for My Life by Jim Harper. Chapter 2. I Was Made in God's Image.
In the beginning, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." Did you ever notice the word "our" in this verse? Who do you think "our" is? This will be explained in more detail a little later, but "our" is God the Father, God's Son Jesus, and God's Holy Spirit. So when God said, "Let us make mankind in our image," this means God the Father, Jesus, and God's Holy Spirit were all present when mankind was created. Yes, even Jesus was there. Jesus was there when the universe was created, and Jesus was there when the earth began. And yes, Jesus was there when a plan was put in place at the beginning of time to defeat evil and sin. God knew what he was doing. His plan was already in place when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, and Jesus was central to that plan. So, how are we made in the image of God? Do we look like him? Or maybe act like him? Not. Or are we like him in spirit? The Bible says that we all carry the image of God within us. Look closely in the mirror for a minute. Can you even begin to comprehend how complex you are? You are not the result of a spontaneous reorganization of molecules or a close cousin of animals. You are a creation that is great and wonderfully made, the most excellent of all of God's creations and a special expression of his divine nature. You are an incredibly complex and exquisite piece of art that is a direct gift from God. God knew you before you were born, and he predestined you to be created in the likeness of his Son, Jesus. But this doesn't mean that we, as humans, have any of God's unlimited characteristics. We are limited in our capabilities, but we do not have God's likeness in many areas. Let's review some of these areas. Let's start with spirit. God is spirit, which means God is invisible. When the Bible says that we are all created in God's image, it means that we have been given a spirit. It does not mean that God is a physical being or that we are like God in physical form. Did you know that your body is just a temporary dwelling place in which the real you, your soul, and your spirit resides? God created your human body for your soul to exist until such time that your physical body dies. Within your body, God placed all of your amazing parts with an exacting role, and every part knows exactly what it is supposed to do. Your body is made up of nearly 100 trillion cells, and every one of these cells has been woven together to operate in perfect harmony with each other. Can you imagine 100 trillion of anything that can operate as one? Even a highly complex engine has only about 500 parts, and it took hundreds of skilled engineers nearly 100 years to get it right. Your body is an absolute miracle, and there is zero probability that your 100 trillion cells came together with the ability to work in total harmony with each other by chance. How do your eyes know how to see with lights and colors and the ability to focus with exacting detail and then coordinate this information with your ears and brain for balance and your arms and legs for movement? How does your nose know how to smell with the ability to differentiate the smell of burnt toast with a beautiful rose and then coordinate these smells with your sense of taste and your joy and sight to see things differently? How does your mind know how to create, empathize, feel joy, feel guilt, feel anger, and have feelings of despair and love? Man can't even create life, much less create something that requires billions and even trillions of interconnections to create a feeling. You are the most intricate and exacting machine that has ever been created, times a trillion, and there is zero probability that you were created by chance. Just take one of your amazing external senses, sight, smell, hearing, taste, touch, and the probability that any one of these could have been created by chance is zero. And you have many thousands of these amazing parts in your body, and all of them have incredible, even incomprehensible, complexity. And here is what is so wonderful. God created all of us in the same bodily form in which he would someday assume. The same bodily form in which he would choose to reveal himself while here on earth, in the form of his Son, Jesus. It is in this bodily form that he would come to earth to live among us, and eventually die for us, to save us. It was his physical body, like ours, that was pierced for our transgressions. Number 2, your heart. God placed something else in your soul when he created you. He gave you a heart. Now, we're not talking about the heart that pumps blood. We're talking about the heart that gives you the ability to feel your emotions, your thoughts, and your beliefs. God gave you a heart so you can feel love and compassion, as well as hundreds of other emotions. He has given you these feelings so you can better understand who he is. God wants you to understand the very intentions of his heart. God gave you the capacity to feel the same emotions that he feels. God wants you to love what he loves and hate what he hates. God wants you to love him with all your heart, mind, and soul. That is why he created you in his own image, and that is also why he gave you a heart. Number 3, relationships and fellowship. Our Creator also created you to have a relationship with him. God wants to have a rich and meaningful relationship with every one of his creations. The good news is, we can, if we choose to. But God will never force this relationship. He will never force his way into your heart. If he forces his way in, it won't be a relationship. He will knock on the door of your heart and then wait. He won't barge in. He's a gentleman. He will wait until you let him in. He knows that you have been designed and created to know who he is. But it's your choice. You can open the door and let him in, or you can choose to keep the door closed. You can accept his invitation, or you can let your pride keep him out. You can choose to learn who he is, or you can live in ignorance of who he might be. But the great news, it's your choice. You get to decide. Later in this book, you will understand why he gave you these wonderful options. You will also learn why you were born and what your mission is. So when he knocks on the door of your heart, he's hoping you will let him in so he can tell you where you are going. He has a wonderful trip planned. But unless you open the door of your heart, you will never learn where his trip will take you. It's a destination you will not want to miss. Number 4, free will. God permits everyone to choose their own path and to make their own decisions. This is called free will. Just like the angels, we all possess free will. We can follow God's path, which means God's rules meant to protect us, or we can follow our own path. If we don't follow God's path, don't expect his protection. He will let you reap what you sow. When you don't follow his light, the path that you take could get very dark very soon, places where you might get hurt. It will be like entering a cave, and every step you take gets darker. Without his light, you won't see rocks and ruts on the path, so you might stumble. Without his light, you might not see sharp object along the path, so you could get bumped and bruised. You might not see turns and drop-offs, so you might fall. If you go far enough and bump into something extremely dangerous, such as someone convinces you to take drugs, you could get hurt and possibly die. Satan will do all sorts of things to lure you down his dark path. Satan just loves the dark. But God's path is bright. You can see God's light no matter how far away you are. Following God's light will lead you out of the darkness very quickly. In fact, if you are scared and you accept his light, you can be transported into his bright light almost instantaneously. His bright light is designed to save you, and save you he will. God gave you free will so you can choose to obey him or not. God didn't want to create a machine that always does what he says. He doesn't want to force his will on anyone. While he is always reaching out in an attempt to develop a relationship with you, you are the one who must accept his invitation. His light is always on. But the big question is, will you choose to follow his light? It is your choice. Both God and Satan are waiting for your decision. We must all choose to cherish or deny God. Not making a decision is a decision. Don't believe that you can simply delay your decision. Delaying is denying. In the end, God will judge every person who rejects his word because God created man for himself. We can choose his path of light, or we can choose the path of darkness. God will wait patiently for your decision, but don't wait too long, as your time here on earth could end at any moment. Number 5, conscience and knowledge. You have been endowed with an intellect that is far superior to any animal. and you have also been given a mind that is capable of understanding. But where God's knowledge is unlimited, you are limited in your knowledge. While animals act primarily on instinct, you are capable of looking beyond your needs. The Bible says that we all have knowledge of right and wrong implanted in our hearts. Perhaps our ability to comprehend what is right and wrong best exemplifies the way that we are most like God. Just as there are natural laws that govern the universe, there are also laws that govern our moral behavior and our thinking. Our intellectual gifts are seen in our ability to design and build, write and compose, make ourselves more efficient, choose, reason, laugh, beautify, and so much more. But even with all of our knowledge and all of our creativity, we still have some rather severe weaknesses, like not being able to figure out how to feed the world's population, not cherishing cultural differences, and not being able to create world peace. And the reason is deception. The world is being deceived. The great deceiver keeps convincing people that they don't need to follow God's standards. Unfortunately, many people listen. Number 6, creativity. Just look around. Look at all that God has created on earth and in the sea and in the heavens above. Also look around and see all the incredible things that humans have created. It is quite obvious that humans are incredibly creative. Look at all of the beautiful fish in our oceans. Not only is God an incredible designer, He also has a great sense of humor. There are even fish in our oceans that require other fish and other plants for their survival. They have an incredible symbiotic relationship. How'd they find each other before becoming extinct? And what about the bird born in the Arctic region that somehow knows how to fly thousands of miles over an open ocean and find a tiny island in the South Pacific that it has never seen before, where it will nest? If it makes just one tiny navigational error, it won't have enough energy to make it, but it does. What about the turtle that is born near the equator and it circumnavigates the Atlantic Ocean and then knows how to return to the exact same beach where it was born to lay eggs? This would be like you and me walking from Los Angeles to New York and back without a map. And what about the monarch that starts out as a caterpillar in Canada and then through the miracle of metamorphosis is transformed into a beautiful butterfly that somehow knows to fly south to a tiny location in Mexico where it must go to survive? If it can't find this tiny location where it has never been to before, it won't make it. But it does. Upwards of 300 million of these monarchs all over the northern hemisphere will do the exact same thing, all born, basically, as mush inside a cocoon. There are thousands of examples just like these that cannot be explained. All of this is creativity on a grand scale. How could any one of these creations do any of this without a creator? We were all created by an incredibly creative God. So, what God did was simply give us a small sliver of His unimaginable creativity. In Genesis 1, it says that God created everything. Every time He created, He would simply say, "Let there be," and it came into being. God creates by speaking. God's creative power is what we need to tap into, and we can if we know Him. It is His creative power that releases healing, feelings, faith, provisions in our life, miracles, and so much more. Number 7, wisdom. Wisdom is also a characteristic that both God and man possess. God knows everything about everything. He knows what we are thinking. He knows everything that will happen. God cannot devise a bad plan because He knows the answer. His omniscience supports His wisdom. God also gives us wisdom, but the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man is not the same. In fact, they are incompatible with each other. True wisdom does not come from man, it comes from God. God, through His wisdom, will bring about what He has promised in ways that you and I cannot even imagine. But you must follow Him to learn what that is. If you lack wisdom, ask God for it. Wisdom, if used properly, can ensure moral goodness, and it can also be a guiding light for your life. Wisdom will steer you clear of Satan's potholes. Now, having true wisdom is not knowing about good and evil. It is knowing good from evil. Wisdom is about making proper choices. We must be careful, however, because there is also a wisdom that is not from God. wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. We need to learn how to tell the difference. We must show our true wisdom by our actions. Do you ever wonder why we can't seem to understand God's wisdom with all of the horrible things that are happening in the world today, such as wars, famine, natural disasters, sickness, death, sorrow, to name just a few? God leaves many of these a mystery because God's wisdom is so much higher than ours. He has a grand conclusion that he has not yet revealed. So let us have faith in God and let his wisdom, not ours, be the light that guides us. Number 8. Sovereign authority. We are also like God in the sense that we have sovereign authority. God has sovereign authority over the universe, and we have been given sovereign authority over the world in which we live. This sovereign authority, however, is not a birthright. It's a gift from God. Just as God created and formed our world to his liking, we are now responsible for managing it. This is a responsibility that has been entrusted to us, and we should not take it for granted. We will someday answer to God for the condition we leave it in. Number 9. Eternal being. God is eternal, and the spirit within each of us is also eternal. If you haven't looked up the word eternal in the dictionary lately, it means without a beginning and without an end. Being eternal means it will last forever. The important question for all of us is, after our physical body dies, will we live eternally in heaven or eternally in hell? Eternity is a very long time. Although all humans possess all of the aforementioned godlike qualities, every single one of us has the potential to express them differently. This is because God's image is imprinted in each of us differently. With God's infinite creativity, there are also no duplicates. You are the only one who will ever be born with your unique qualities. You have the capacity to reflect God's spiritual, emotional, relational, creative, sovereign, and eternal capacities. And you have also the capacity of doing these things synergistically with God. Can you say wow? The Apostle Paul says that we are always in the process of being transformed into the image of God by God's holy word, and that our image will be made new in all righteousness and holiness. Yes, you're different. You are different from every person who has ever lived. It was God's plan from the very beginning that all of his creations would inhabit the earth, and that every person would be unique and fearfully and wonderfully made. You were not born by accident. God knit you together in your mother's womb. From the very beginning, God wanted you to be unique while giving you some of the attributes and characteristics of your parents. That is why you may have some of your parents' physical features, and maybe even some of their behaviors, both good and bad. When God created you, he broke the mold. There is no other person on earth just like you. You are a one and only. It says in the Bible that we were the clay and God was the potter. We were formed in his hand for a special purpose, which someday will be revealed. God was involved in your physical and psychological formation from the very beginning. He knows how many days you will live, and he knows all of the experiences that you will go through during your lifetime. He has a plan for you, a glorious plan, but you must believe. He can't reveal himself to you, and he can't reveal his plan for you unless you open your heart and let him in. Now you should take comfort in knowing that God has all of your experiences under his sovereign control. God will never put you on a bus while taking even the slightest chance that you will not reach your destination. God is, in fact, driving the bus. He knows exactly where you are going, and he knows everything that will happen along the way. Everything. This includes all of your good experiences and even your bad experiences. In God's economy, every one of your experiences is for your development. You may not feel like you are wonderfully made, but you are. You may have days when you are deeply troubled and even days when you are in despair. Life is not easy. But God wants you to know how much he loves you and that he is with you always. God knows everything that is possible to know about you, including how many hairs on your head. You are made different from everyone else for a reason, but do you know why? We will explore the answer to this question a little later, but for now, simply know that you are made different from everyone else for a very good reason. His reason. no matter what darkness you may experience, and we all live in darkness at some point in our lives, whatever feeling the evil one puts on you, God feels your pain and wishes to comfort you. How can you know? You simply have to consider how wonderfully made you are. You don't have to feel any pressure not being like others, because God made you exactly the way you are, because He has a special mission for you, a mission that only you can accomplish. God didn't just randomly design you with random skills, random traits, and random looks. Your body and your mind are unique to you, and you were designed the way you are to complement the skills and attributes of others. How could a complex engine operate if all parts were the same? Sometimes it's hard to understand why we are so different from everybody else. When we were young, this was especially difficult to understand. We wanted to be like everyone else. We wanted to wear the same types of jeans as our friends. We wanted to hang out together. We wanted to do things together. And we especially wanted to be liked. If we were ever considered different by our friends, oh my, that was bad. We wouldn't be accepted. And at such a young age, it's all about being accepted. If we ever felt not accepted by others, oh, we felt horrible. But these feelings, if you ever experienced them, were planted in your mind by the great deceiver and not by your creator. Satan works overtime trying to destroy you through your emotions. He knows exactly where you are the weakest. One of the key reasons for our uniqueness is because of God's incredible creativity. As we grow and mature, we need to learn to treasure our differences. We need to understand that being unique and different from everybody else is an incredible blessing. God made you just the way you are because He has a mission for you, and only you can accomplish that mission. Now, just for a moment, think of yourself as a member of a large orchestra, and you have been equipped through your uniqueness and your gifts to play the bass drum. God designed you with a really good beat so you can play the bass drum really well. This uniqueness allows you to play the bass drum better than everybody else. But this uniqueness makes you different, not the same as everybody else. Oh my, how can that be good? Now, suppose somebody comes along who plays the trumpet really well, and you think to yourself, I wish I was like him. I would be so much happier. But since you weren't born with thin lips, which a trumpet player needs, you could never become a great trumpet player. It's not the gift you are given. You are designed by God to play the bass drum. He gave you your uniqueness so only you can play the bass drum. In fact, the gift you have been given makes playing the bass drum effortless for you. You don't need to work on having a good beat because you have this gift within you. Nobody else can do what you can do. Now suppose another person comes along who plays the violin really well, and you think to yourself, I wish I could be like her. I would be so much happier. But since you weren't born with long fingers to reach all the strings and the ability to move the bow quickly, you could never become a great violinist. It's not the gift you were given. You were designed by God to play the bass drum. He gave you your uniqueness so only you can play the bass drum. Being a bass drummer seems to be in your genes. God created you this way for a reason. When we focus on the gifts that we have been given, instead of focusing on what others have, we will begin to live our lives without effort. We won't spend any energy trying to be like others. Satan is all about making us feel bad about how different we are from everybody else. He is constantly trying to deceive us into thinking that we would be so much happier if we just had what others have. And because we listen, he succeeds. We never seem to be happy with ourselves. Satan knows just the right strings to pull. No, not violin strings. Make you desire what others have. We need to focus on the gifts that we have been given. Always remember, God has given you everything you need to be content. Everything. It's called Him. God is all you need. Focus on God, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you begin to understand that God designed you for a special purpose, and that His will is perfect, you will begin to understand that the gifts He has given you are meant to bless you. Did you know that God put a plan in place for you in your life before the earth was formed? He also predestined you eons ago to live the life that you are living. His plan might include taking you over some bumpy roads in the bus that He's driving, but each of these bumpy roads has a purpose. They are for our spiritual development. Riding over bumpy roads might be something that God feels you need to experience. He might want you to see something, or feel something, or maybe experience something. It might include experiencing hardship. It might include experiencing pain or loss. It might include experiencing His grace, possibly even a miracle. But it is all for a reason. God came and lived with us so we can believe in Him and trust in Him with our life and our future. Following Him requires faith, and with just a little bit of faith, He promises us that nothing will be impossible for us. Remember that whatever you experience, which might include both suffering and despair, God can use for good. Being grateful for everything that you experience can turn your negative thoughts into positive thoughts. Being grateful forces your attention outward to God and to others, instead of inward to yourself. Gratitude will calm you. You will worry less. You won't obsess, which will make your life more connected and more purposeful. This is when God can use you and bless you for having faith in Him. Some people are born different from others, but God says He has a purpose for everything He creates. Listen to this passage in the book of John regarding someone who was born blind. As He went along, He saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked Him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus responded, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." God teaches us that this man was born this way so his life can glorify God. So if you have a negative feeling or a negative thought about the way somebody was born, always remember God has a reason for creating him this way. God's reason is so that person can glorify him. We tend to think of someone who was born a certain way is somehow incomplete or disadvantaged. God doesn't view it this way at all. God creates everyone a specific way so they can use their uniqueness to minister to others. God doesn't want us to quarrel with him or feel sorry for how someone was born, because he has created everyone a certain way for a reason. In God's eyes, we have all been created just the way he wants us. We are all wonderfully made in his treasured possession. He has a plan for every single one of us. This means there is a special work that God has planned for you that only you can do in just the way you can do it. There is nothing in your life that will be wasted. God uses your past, your present, and all of your hardships that you have been through to prepare you for the future. Ask God for wisdom to help you understand why he made you the way you are, and why he placed you on this earth so you can be effective in your work for him. He has a beautiful plan for you. You were created for him to do good works. End of chapter 2.